you may take your seat. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Feeding the hungry. Feeding the hungry. Jesus crossed the sea or Lake of Galilee. The lake was about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. He had just come from working for his father, and going to go somewhere to take some rest. If you have not been in the presence of Jesus and ministered, you won't understand him having to do that. But if you work for God, you get tired. And I don't know what y'all think when y'all hear me say this, and I won't try to say what you think, but I know what I used to think. It's not that difficult. I don't understand why you're tired. But I hadn't been there. And I hadn't done that. But when you have been there and you have done that, it wears on the body physically. But spiritually, there's one thing you could do again. If you don't believe it, you all that's sitting out here, you just watch, and when you see people ministering and singing and playing, And you look at Sister Linda and Brother Derek and all those people that do that, they be just a sweating. And they just be wiping sweat. And they play that one, and I believe sometime in their mind they saying, that ought to be it. But then somebody tune up another one and they play that one again. You just go right to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. Because when you're working for God, he just seems to always supply just what you need. You don't ever seem to run out of gas. Sometimes you might have to coast into the filling station to gas up, but you don't run out of gas. You just be almost. But then when you gas up, you can go again when he fuels you. Jesus needed some rest. He was tired and weary from the pressure of facing the crowd day after day. He wanted some time alone with God and with his disciples. So he said, let's go to the other side. And they went to the other side. And just if you can, if you will, give me control of your mind and just visualize or try to picture Jesus sitting up on a rock up on the mountain, looking down a hill and seeing all these people coming towards him. All right. Looking at them, at the multitude that's coming, and he could see them, and he could see them coming across the field. And knowing they coming to him. But then what you have to do is do like Jesus. Jesus used this occasion to demonstrate two concerns. First concern was his need. His concern was to meet the need of man. And this was one of the most minute things that man need, and that was to eat. The second concern was to strengthen the disciples. The disciples and the people were, as all of us are, they have a need. And their greatest need was the same as ours. My Lord, my Lord. And that is to grow in faith. That's our greatest need, is to grow in faith. And that is how we are going to look at this passage and try to feed the hungry. The hungry are not hungry for physical food. We are hungry for our faith to grow in Jesus the Christ. Point number one. There is the pessimistic faith. This was seen in Philip. You know Philip, the disciple who met the eunuch and talked to him and had four daughters who were prophets. You know Philip. But Philip needed to see his faith for what it was. It was pessimistic. Pessimistic faith sees the money and the resources, and that is all. Sees the availability of the resources that's there. He stresses the impossibility of the situation. There is despair because there is such a meagerness of what we have of resources. And he's swamped by the hopelessness in the answer that he gives to himself. Pessimistic faith does not see God, nor the power of God. Does not see what God have already done. Just see what God needs to do right now. Pessimistic faith forgets God's glorious power in the past. Pessimistic faith asks the question, what have you done for me lately? You haven't done anything for me today with the situation that I have right now. What have you? That's just seeing what I need right now. Pessimistic faith fails to think of God's power. Its mind is only on earthly things, not spiritual things. Stay right there, because if I don't see it right now, I don't have it. Pessimistic faith feels that the problem is too big. It's too big for God's power. Or either that it's so little that God won't have time to mess with it. We only think God can solve those problems that we see that he can solve. But I stop by to tell you that when you don't have an answer, God already have provided the answer. We need to get away from being so pessimistic. We can't see God working in our lives because we don't believe that it can. Oh, you just got to believe. Pessimistic faith fears that God's power will fail and the person's faith will be weakened. Well, I don't want to ask God to do this because he just might not can. And then Brother Joe Blow over there looking at me will think that my faith in God's not any good. You need to forget Brother Joe Blow. And you need to just walk with God. I stop by to tell you that if you believe in God, everything's going to be all right. Might not look like it's all right, but it's all right. I just know that when you trust and you lean and depend on God, no matter how it seems or what everybody else thinks, if you keep your eyes on the cross, if you keep your eyes on Jesus and forget all the other stuff, I finally figured out why the old farmer put blinders on a mule upside his ear so he would not have perfect peripheral vision. When you got blinders on, all you got to do is just keep your head looking straight in front. here. If you turn to the side, then your front's over here. It's not over here. But when you got blinders on, you can only see straight in front of you. So many of us, the reason we miss Jesus, we take our eyes off of Jesus and begin to look at the situation. Don't worry about the situation. Don't worry about the circumstances. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. The pessimist lonely looking what he sees. A pessimist faith fails to see God's care and love and interest and concern in every little thing that happened to a child of God. There's not a parent in the world that doesn't care about everything that happened to the child. If you being earthly do that to your child, what in the world do you think God would do to his? God will watch you and see everything that's happening in your life. God, if you trust him, if you trust him and stop being so pessimistic about what God, we just don't believe that God can do what he said he'll do.
Amen.
I challenge you to try and show enough trying. Because when you get your back against the wall and you ain't got nowhere else to go, when you throw both hands up and fall on your knees and say, God, I can't do this. I need you to help me. I need you. God, it ain't a want now. It's I need you to help me. Stop being so pessimistic. Just trust in God. A pessimist faith gives thanks and praise to God for what he has, but he failed to trust in God for the miraculous. What I got in my hand. You know what Jesus had in his hands, don't you? He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. A pessimist only thank God for what he has. He only sees what he has in his hand. 2 barley loaves and 2 fish. And can I just tell you, barley was the cheapest oat grain that they had. That was a poor man's meal, a poor boy's meal. He left home with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. The cheap, the poor stuff. Poor, not P-O-O-R-P-O, poor, poor stuff. That's all he had. And it probably wasn't grouper that he had. It probably was somebody told me it probably was a mullet or a catfish. Or something you wouldn't eat. But it wasn't the expensive stuff. It was cheap stuff. But look at you. Look at you and then look at God and see where you stand with God. Are you poor stuff? Are you cheap stuff? No, you are the best that he has. Listen. Pessimist faith look for others to help instead of depending upon God and God alone. That's why if nobody show up but me, I'm having church. If nobody shows up at Bible study but me, I'm having Bible study. If nobody shows up at Sunday school but me, I'm having Sunday school. Because as much as I love you, I'm not depending on you to come. I'm depending on God to show up. And if God show up, I got all that I need. I wish you were here to receive the blessing just like me. But if you are not, then God is going to bless what you do when you give God your best. That's all that he expects of you, is to give him your best. But a pessimist, look for other people to do. I love you. I'm glad you're here. But if you don't come, if that's between you and God, I'm still going to stand by God. I'm going to feed the hungry. And right now, I am the hungry. I need to feed myself with the word of God. And when you immerse yourself yourself in the word of God, he will provide just what you need. But you got to give him a chance to fill your soul. And if you allow him to feed you, he will provide just what you need. God will not give you something that you do not need. You might not understand it, appreciate it at the time that you get it, but keep on living. After a while, by and by, you'll see that it's all right. You got to move from where you are. You will find that in verse 1 through 7. But then in verse 8 and 9, I think that's the next verse, you will find the optimistic and the questioning faith. That was in there too. The optimistic and questioning faith love the Lord and is committed to the Lord. But they got questions. They want to question God. But then an optimistic questioning faith lays what it can find before the Lord. No matter how little or how great it is, you'll lay it below, but in front of the Lord. That was Andrew, y'all. Andrew went out and did some research. He had done research before time. He found out what they had. And what, when you give God your very best and all that you got, that's all that you need to do, is just give God your best and say, God, this is it. This is all I got. And God will take it and multiply it. God won't add to it. God will multiply it. Multiply is 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 8, 4 times 4 is 16. 16 times 16 is something else. And 16 times is something else. But I think you get my point. 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 4 plus 4 equals 8. But when you get to 4 in multiplication, 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. 16 times 16 is 400, 200 or something. I don't know, but it's a whole lot more than adding 32 to 32. I think you get my point. When God adds to get to yours, he does not add, he multiplies. There's a difference in multiplication than addition. No matter how little it is, God can help it. God can provide with it. You got to feed the hungry. And optimistic question faith does question, well, what are there among so few? See, he told him what he had, and Jesus and Andrew and Philip and them was looking at what they had. Well, we just got 2 5 loaves and 2 fish, but we got 5,000 men besides the women and the children to feed. How are we going to feed them? Looking at what you have, not depending on God. That's what some of us got to do with what we got. All we got to do is just give it to God and quit looking at what we have and look at the circumstances around it. Quit looking at it. Just look at God. When you look at God, everything will be all right. Listen to me. The questioning often deteriorates into complaining. We question and then we start complaining about we don't have anything. All we got is just a little bit. Y'all, I understand now why they used to say in Hoover days, they used to eat the chicken and the chicken was still walking around on the yard because mama and daddy prayed for that chicken, that chicken would lay eggs and the eggs would be fertilized and then they would hatch into more chickens and God would provide. I don't understand how God can take 90% and make it go farther than 100%. I don't understand that, but God can. I also don't understand why yesterday when I saw the sun, it went down on that side. This morning when I saw it, it was over on this side. I don't understand that, but God does. God can do miraculous things. Yes, I don't need to complain so much. I just need to thank God for all that he's done and for what he's going to do. I need to move on. Listen, this thing about questioning God, so many of us are
question him. Sometimes it's out of our arrogance, but then sometimes it's out of our ignorance. We just don't understand. You got to feed the hungry, and you can feed the hungry by making it stretch. Hey, help me, Holy Ghost. When you used to get that soup, it was everything that they had had all the week, and some of us call it gumbo, because what you had Monday, you put it in the refrigerator, or you put it in the ice box. Then what you had Tuesday left over, you put it in the ice box. But then come Friday, you took all of it and put it together. Didn't have no meat, but you just had a soup bone, and you put the soup bone in there, and it made it go further. See, but when you look at, if you just look at what you got and don't look at God, you're missing the picture. So many people look at what they have and don't look at God. Start complaining about what you don't have. Why don't you thank God for what you do have and say, God bless it. Well, then there's the positive, unswerving faith, which is found in verse 10 through 13. This is seen in Christ. This is seen in Jesus Christ himself, demonstrating for his disciples the kind of strong faith we are to have in God. We are to have that faith. Listen, Jesus took what he had and gave thanks to God for what he had. He could hold what he had in his hand. Listen. The meagerness of it didn't matter to him. He just gave it to God. In the hands of God, a little bit will be a whole lot. In the hands of God. I thought about this, and I did this one time when I got one of them offers in there, a basketball. A basketball in my hand is worth about $38. In LeBron James' hand? It's worth a whole lot more. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it's the same way with God. Those 5 barley loaves and 2 fish in my hand are not much. But put them in the hands of God. It's enough to feed 5,000 men beside the women and children, and there'd be enough to collect with 12 baskets left over. We're talking about God, the unswerving faith of God. When you give what you have to God and leave it with him and stop looking at the meagerness of what you have. Don't look at it. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't miss anything. But when you take your eyes off of him and start looking at what you got, we fail to look at him. Jesus, it says that Jesus took it in his hand and looked up to heaven. Y'all have to excuse me now. I need to talk to my daddy. Father, the Bible doesn't say what he says, but he said he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. And in my mind, I can hear him talking, and I can hear him say, Father, these people have been following me for days and days. They're coming to me because of what I can do for them. Father, all I have here in my hand of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Father, will you bless this? Will you bless this, God, and make it what you need it to be? And then it said he took it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Said he took it and he gave it to his disciples. You heard Reverend Shai read it to you. And he said he had them to sit down in companies of 50s. On the grass so they could be fed. So listen now, things were done decent and in order. We need to have decent and order in the house of God. When we have decent and order in the house of God, God will bless what you're doing. You can't come to God acting crazy and doing just like you want to do. It have to be decent and in order the way God would have things to be done. Jesus told them, said, break them up in companies of 50s and 100s and have them to sit down together. And when they sit down together, we'll know how to feed them. I just believe. Y'all have to excuse me. I see things the way God let me see them. I believe they were sitting in the 50s and the 100s and the 50s and the 100s. And Jesus, as the disciples came to Jesus, he said, you go this way and you go this way and you go this way and you feed these bunches. And then when they run out, they would come back to Jesus to get some more to take back. See, no matter what you're doing in ministry, you need help. One person can't do it all. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. The little boy that left home that morning with his lunch, I know he was saying, I'm going and I got my lunch. Mama, I can stay all day, but I got my lunch. I don't have to try to come home for lunch. I got my lunch. He did not know that he was starting a carry-out service, a catering business for Jesus. He went and Andrew found him. Andrew became his business manager. Andrew went to Jesus and said, I got a food supply. I got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What can you do with that? Jesus said, bring it to me. He placed an order, and the little boy had the order. God had filled the order the morning before the little boy left home. Ain't God all right? Somebody, God filled your order before you left home. You don't know who got the order, but you're trusting in God. You got faith in God. You gonna feed the hungry. It takes faith to feed the hungry. Well, everybody was getting served. I don't believe anybody that was serving was waiting on a tip or waiting on a pat on the back. I don't believe anybody took the glass and shook it because they're glad their tea ran out, wanting the waiter to bring them some more tea. But the Bible says that everybody that was there was filled. Listen, God will provide just what you need. And some people think they have to have a full course meal every time, the way the pyramid would have you to do it. You got to have so many servings of vegetables. You got to have so many servings of white meat, of milk, and all this. But if God bless it, no matter what it is, it would be all right. Listen, they served the meal. They served the meal. And then God had them to clean up. See, sometimes some people don't want to be servants of God because you got to come behind other people and clean up the mess that they're making. But you got to come. If you're a servant of God, you got to serve him. Somebody got to clean up, and God provide the cleaner uppers. I'm glad you asked. It was the same one that was a servant. It was the same one that was around Jesus. Wasn't nobody else. They was the servant. They picked it up. The Bible says they picked up 12 baskets of fragments that was left. I thought about one thing. I say every time we eat, everybody that want a carry out. There were no carry outs. Nobody carried out anything. You ate it all at God's house. Whatever God provided there, they ate it there. There were no carry outs. You eat it what God give you at God's house. There were 12 carry outs, y'all, but those were the people that were working, that were serving. They got the carry out because they had to go and do ministry somewhere else, and the people would need something to eat, so they had to have something to feed them with. But God provides just what he needs. Listen, feeding the hungry. Feeding the hungry. And I know this is talking about a physical food here, But I want you to get out of that. I want you to feed people spiritually. Feed them the word. And listen, I thought about this too. When you feed them the word spiritually, they don't need a carry out. You don't need one. I can tell you why. Because the cup you bring is big enough. I'm glad you asked. It's your heart. If you fill that cup up, you won't need anything else. Because see, you'll be just like the widow. You'll think it's empty. And every time you go back to look, it will be full. So you can't empty what God's given out. God will supply just what you need. But when you're feeding the hungry, the word of God, you will never run out of food. Because God, it says, what? 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, I'll open up the windows of heaven, pull you out a blessing, that you won't have room to receive it. 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles. But when you work for God, God will supply just what you need. But you have to know that you have faith to believe that God can do what he said he can do. You have to be like that. And you have to have faith. You have to have faith that God can do it. Feeding the hungry takes faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. You got to have faith and trust enough in God to believe that he will and he can do just exactly what he said. You have to believe that. If you don't believe that, he cannot supply what you need. Well, let me get back to this so I can get you out of here. God met their need at this time because of the unswerving faith of Jesus Christ, of Jesus believing that God could supply all of their needs. I just believe that Jesus remembered how the world was in the beginning, when there was nothing there until God said, and God did what he was going to do. And he was saying, God, Father, you remember that these people have been following me all these days, and they're weary. God, they walked. I read somewhere where it said the journey. Some of those people were watching Jesus and them in the boat go across. They were running around the outside of the lake just to meet him to the other side, which was about 9 miles. So they had to have a desire for either one or two things, for what he was doing or for what he could give them. And some of us are the same way. We have a desire for God because what he can give us and what he can do for us. We need to think about sometimes what we can do for him. Amen. We can tell others about him, and we can feed the hungry. We have got to feed the hungry. People in the world today are waiting on believers to tell them the word and to show them the word. Some of them want you to show it to them because they don't believe it anyway. Some of them you will not be able to convince. And I can tell you why. Because there's a place called hell, and they have made up their mind that that's where they're going to go. All we need to do is keep telling them about what thus saith the Lord. If you tell them, it's left up to them then. You can't make them. Because some of us became members of the church because Mama and Papa said so. But that doesn't mean you're saved. That's a decision you have to make for yourself. You have to make that decision that you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And brothers and sisters, the world is watching the church a lot more than the church knows that the world is watching. Because they are getting tired of the way the world is treating them. They want something better. And can I just tell you, this is better? Might not look like it, but it is. Might not act like it, but it is. Might not talk like it, but it is. Might not walk like it, but it is. We need to understand that this is the better way, because Christ made a way. Christ fixed it so we could feed the hungry. You are here now if you believe in Jesus Christ because you were fed the word of God. You were fed the word of God. You get fed the word by your ability or your willingness to receive the word. There are an awful lot of people that have the gospel in their head, but it's not in their heart. Some people don't have it in their head, but it's in their heart. Might not know which book is the first book of the Bible or which book is the last book of the Bible. But they have the word of God in their heart. They have watched other people live for God and are living like they saw them live. Amen. And when you trust in God, God will provide what you need.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
There were people in the yesterdays that couldn't read, and I heard Pastor E.V. Hill tell this about his grandmother. So she had a lot of land out in Texas, and it was in the 30s, late 30s and early 40s, and some people come there of the other hue and wanted to buy. And she told them, said, well, give me the papers that you have, and I'll read it and look at it tonight. And Pastor Hill, so he was sitting there, so he said, so he started to say something, but he didn't say anything. He said, I knew Grandmama couldn't read. So she told those men she was going to read it. So she can't read it. So how's she going to read that and cipher it out? He said, that night, he watched her, and he saw his grandmama take that paper and put it in her Bible. And took her Bible and just held her Bible to her chest and got into bed and went to sleep. So the next morning, she woke up, and those men came to the house, and so they said, well, Granny, what do you think about the paper? She said, well, sir, I don't think I'm going to sell. Said, I'm not going to sell. Said, I don't like the writing and all this on here. Said, this doesn't sound fair to me. Said, so I don't want it. And so they left. And said, he looked at it. He could read. He was about 9 or 10. He could read. They were going to offer her about $35 an acre for about 500 acres of land. She couldn't read. She couldn't read. I got one question for you. How did she know that? God will put in those people. God won't let you take advantage of people. If you are living, if you are a child of God, you don't have to worry about somebody taking advantage of you. If you're walking with God, but he gives you a certain amount of sense. He gives you a certain amount of sense. The old people will call it mother wit. They gives you that. There's some things you just ought to know. But if you work for God, and you own his payroll, and you are feeding the hungry. That's what we don't want to do. We. We are happy, cool, and safe in my little house, and I'm not worrying about anybody else. I'm sorry. That's not the way it is. Jesus was already in heaven. He left heaven to come down here. Uh-huh. For me. He didn't come for himself. He came for the rest of us. Amen. That would believe in him. So therefore, when you get what Christ has for you, you need to see, try to see that you bring somebody with you. I want to see everybody I know in heaven. I want to see that. So I don't just get mine and go home and sit down and be comfortable. I need to tell everybody else. I need to feed the hungry. I need to feed the hungry. And the hungry are those that do not know Jesus Christ. And some of them think they know him. Some of them do know him up here, but they don't know him in their heart. Christ needs to get in our heart so we can make a difference in our own life first. Then after he make a difference in my life, he can make a difference in somebody else's life because they can see me.
Yes.
Well, I'm through. But let me give you my conclusion. My conclusion, I went to the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. It shows the faith of Job. I'll try to get you to the point where I want to close at. And it said, Job was there, and one of his servants come to him and told him that some people had come down and taken all his camels. Some came and got all his wheat. He had three different people to come to him and tell him everything he had was gone. And then he had one to come to him to tell him that said your seven sons and your three daughters are all dead. All dead. Job in chapter 1 says that naked I came into the world. Naked I leave. Out of my mother's womb I came here with nothing. He said, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You talking about faith. I don't have seven sons and three daughters. I just have one of each. You let somebody come tell me mine or dead. It's easy when I look at Job in the book of Job in the Bible. But see, when things happen to me, it's up close and it's personal. You got to have faith in Jesus the Christ. You got to have faith to know that this too shall pass. You got to have faith to know that trouble don't last always. And you got to have faith to know that daylight's coming in the morning and things will be better. But you got to have faith and trust in God. If you trust in the stuff that you see and that you have, you will not trust in God. You got to trust him. If you don't trust him, don't tell people that you do. Don't tell them that you do. Let me tell you this story here to illustrate faith, and I'll get out your way. The missionary's name was Hudson Taylor. On his first trip to China, they were sailing along and the wind died down and the little wind that was blowing was taking them to shore. And the captain of the ship knew that that was an island of people that believe in cannibalism. They ate other people. And the wind was taking them into shore. The captain goes to Hudson Taylor and said, knocks on his door. You in there? He said, yeah. He said, well, so we about to be pushed into this island where these people are captured. I said, you need to start praying for a wind. He said, I got my sails turned the way to pick up the wind when it starts. Hudson Taylor told him, said, turn your sails the other way. He said, I'm not going to do it. Hudson Taylor said, well, I'm not going to pray. So the captain eventually turned his sails. Hudson Taylor went in his room, closed his door, and started praying. About 35 or 40 minutes, the captain was back knocking on the door. Said, have you started the praying yet? He said, yes, I have. He said, well, will you pray that God stop the wind? Said, because we got too much wind for our sails. He said, well, why did you want me to pray? He said, to keep us away from the island of the cannibals. He said, God can do anything, but you can't regulate when he starts doing. They didn't go to the Isle of Cannibals, but my point is that the man, the captain, it does not say that he was a believer, but he believed that this man could pray and things could happen. He had enough faith. See, sometimes we think the people in the world don't have faith in our God. They just have not received him. They have faith, but they don't know what they got themselves. This man didn't know the faith that he had could turn what he should have done was himself got on his knees and prayed to the God that he was believing would hear him. How can we believe God or hear somebody else and believe the same God won't hear me? Every believer that there is in the world have a direct line to God. There's nothing wrong with asking other people to pray for you, but in the meantime, you ought to be doing it too for yourself. Faith to feed the hungry. So a lot of us don't believe we have anything to say for God. You do. You just have to tell it. We think that because I can't dress my testimony up and like somebody else. Nobody else has your testimony. Nobody else have your testimony. You got your testimony. You got it. God did that for you. And you need to tell it. That little boy, that morning he left home. He had no idea that his lunch was going to feed as many people as it did. My question and my statement to you today is, neither do you. Neither do you. Your five barley loaves and two fish can feed an awful lot of people when you put it in the hands of God. When you keep it in your hand, it's just five barley loaves and two fish. But when you put it in the hands of God, you can feed the hungry. Will you stand? And if you don't know God, this is your time.